There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to God Only Knows What Is Going To Happen round. With half the MCG, and yes, that may be a slight exaggeration, now having to be tested, and with the Geelong Football Club being met on the tarmac in Perth by police to have to take COVID tests, who knows what happens tomorrow? Arch, how much planning have you not done to get through this week?
Mate, the same amount of planning that I haven't done all year, to be honest.
You know, it's almost at the point now where those who don't plan tend to have better options.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I don't think it'll affect this round too much, to be honest, because let's face it, Geelong's already over here. But it does have potential implications for the next round. You know what I mean?
So at this point on the Wednesday night, at 6:09 WA time, 8:09 Eastern time, what we know is Gil has said at this stage nothing's changing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the case. But in Gil's press conference, the Savo, he also made it very clear. However, things can change in an hour. So he's keeping himself open for that change, as always. So it's also interesting because obviously Sydney and GWS aren't going to get anywhere near the home state for a little while or the home city for a little while. So
yeah,
they've been told that they're locked down till at least the end of the month. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, Arch, and who knows what's going to change in the near future.
Makes it hard to do a fantasy podcast when, you know, a lot of our information is all based around, you know, and strategy is based around who plays what and when.
Exactly.
As you say, it makes it hard to plan, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And luckily, this day and age, we've got some handy tools like rolling lockouts and things like that. So it does help, but, you know, it is what it is.
What doesn't help, though, Zano, is injuries. Mm. It doesn't matter when the games are being played. People are still getting hurt, and that's bloody annoying.
Exactly.
So we'll roll back to Thursday night when Zach Butters, Zano, first game back, does a knee. Looks like a medial, so he'll be out for a while, potentially the rest of the season there.
I'd say now, this time of the year, he won't be ready before finals, and I doubt you're going to bring him in a big final first game back.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So, and then Kyle Langford, he did a hammy on Friday night, which is handy. He's been good for salary cap and draft owners, for that matter, for the last few weeks. He's been scoring quite well, so he did a hammy there. Then on Saturday, we had CJ. He hurt his knee in a marking contest and didn't come back on. I think that one's been confirmed as a PCL from memory.
I think they said PCL initially, but I don't know confirmed what it is. You keep plugging along. I will check the injury list.
Yeah, so the last info that I heard on that, I can't remember what the injury was, but he's not going to play this year, but he will be ready to go round one, I believe.
Yeah, it was a knee injury, and it's either PCL or medial or MCL or something like that. MCL, we discussed MCL sometime on the weekend trying to work out what that was.
Yeah, so that was the next day. So that was Hugh Greenwood.
Ah, okay.
So
yes.
He did an MCL, which was good because, well, a better outcome than what they thought because they thought it was ACL. So he's definitely out for the season, but they actually said he should be good to go for day one of preseason training for Gold Coast there.
That makes sense.
Then on Sunday as well, we had Whitfield out with a concussion, took a fairly innocuous head knock by all accounts, but apparently he's got a history of migraines, Zeno.
Yeah, okay.
Which, from memory, he has had a few concussions in the past, so it definitely doesn't help.
Mm.
So he's definitely out for this week. And I must admit, I haven't had a chance yet to look at the fixtures for next week.
Sunday games, outside the 12 days. So as long as he passes his protocols and he's testing, he's fine. So there's no he'll mandatorily miss one game, and then it's just a matter of where he's at for the second game.
Which is a problem, Zeno, because we'll talk about it coming up, but in fixed trade scenarios, Yeah, it's the hold or trade scenario, isn't it? It'd be one of those ones with his history. Let me try and actually speak English. With his history of concussion, he may be one of those ones that misses two.
Look, it could be that case of thinking he's going to miss one, he misses four. You know what these things turn out like, Arch. Yeah, we'll get to that probably in a little bit, but I think it comes down to who you've got to play as well in your team. So, yeah.
Speaking of coverage, a lot of people bought in Will Kelly this week. He was a 171K rookie, did a quad very early on and actually lost $1,000.
Awesome. So, seen a bit of that this year, actually, haven't we?
Yeah. So he'll be out for a while with that one. Then on Monday, Elliot Yeo, apart from completely sucking with a lot of his teammates, he did an ankle or two. He did play out the game, but he's very much a watch and see.
Yeah.
Potentially he's got laid out written all over him with that one.
Yeah.
And Zano, you've let us know today. Reports are Tim Kelly's left the track with a bit of an injury as well.
Yeah.
So definitely keep an eye on him. Just quietly, they were two players I bought in last week, one in AFL Fantasy and one in Supercoach. So that was awesome.
Yeah, all I saw was a Twitter report saying that he was clutching at his same knee that he injured earlier in the year and had to leave the track and didn't return. So that's to the level of detail we've got to this point. So wait and see.
Yep, and it's on Twitter, so it's got to be true.
Oh, look, yeah, well, I know he's left the track and I know he's had it. I just don't know what the injury is. So it's cool.
All right, Zana, into the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, well, there was a hell of a lot of ugly on the weekend, but we might start it off with the positive. And I'll go first, Zana, with Lockie Bramble.
Yes.
Gets my good. How nice is it, Zana? How nice is it when you get a 99 from a rookie and he's actually on your field and you don't have to think of some convoluted way to get his loop his score? So, look, it's pretty obviously, it's a once-off. You definitely can't count on it every week, but he's been good for 50s and 60s, and when he rocks out a 99, it's so nice. It's so nice.
It was, and look, he's been in okay form without being in great form. So, look, if that's the worst we're doing this time of the year, you're going to take it, because I guarantee it wasn't the worst that I did this week. That's for sure.
And, it's interesting to note, Zano, one thing we haven't actually spoken about is the DPP additions for AFL Fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
So there wasn't, the reason we haven't talked about it, there's not a hell of a lot of relevancy at all. But Bramble is one that did get forward status from memory.
Yep.
And the other ones were either draft league relevant or guys like Jordan DeGoey getting mid status. So nothing much there to talk about.
No, there wasn't.
So,
and that's
so he gets my good. And, you know, if we could get, when you're a coach like me, Zano, and you're still relying on rookies at this time of year, it's very, very handy. So who gets your good this week?
So I'll sort of see your Lockie Bramble, Arch, and I'll raise you a Chris Burgess. So he came close to coming out of my team a couple of weeks ago, except he got named, and I thought, I've got someone else I can move on. I'll hang on to him for one more week. In those 2 weeks, in fantasy, he's gone 88 and 123. So that's not too bad for I think he was very close to rookie dead rookie price when I got him. Now, the only downer for me on there, Arch, is I was able to loop his 88 last week, but I couldn't loop his 123 this week.
Oh, no.
So I was a bit dirty with that because he was sitting on my ruck bench. So, yeah. But what it's left me now is I'm still going to play one more. I was going to upgrade all my rookies to be no rookies on field this week, but with a few guys going down like Whitfield and that who are going to drop a fair bit in price, I might just hold off a week or two to see them drop back down. And I'm comfortable of either playing Burgess, and I've got to make the decision whether I'm going to play Burgess, Bramble, or Bianco on field.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to play one, and I'm actually reasonably comfortable playing Burgess either in the ruck or the defender positions. So he's sole rucking at the moment with nobody else there. So if he's going to continue to do that and knock us out 80 pluses, he's fine to be on field. No problem there. So,
Who have Gold Coast got this week?
I haven't looked.
Fixtures here.
Myself.
There we go. Bulldogs. Oh, so he's up against
Nothing.
A Steph Martin-less Bulldog, so he'll be up against Tim English.
Yep.
And Jordan Sweet if he gets play.
That's not too bad. I mean, he's been really good up forward and around the ground, predominantly. So, look, hey, you got to play a rookie, and if you've got a rookie that's got 123 and 88, there's not many others you're going to have much confidence in, so, you know, do it.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely.
All right, Arch, now let's get into this. This part could take us forever, but get into the bad and the ugly, Arch. So you're up first with some bad.
So I'm going to give my bad to Elliot Yeo. Now, as we mentioned last week in the podcast, I've got very much a cash generation issue in AFL Fantasy. I'm really struggling with English today in AFL Fantasy. Yep. And I was tossing up, honestly, between him and Tim Kelly there.
Yep.
The decision came down to the weather.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, it absolutely bucketed down. It was a duck's playground there, mate, with all the weather, all the water that was on the ground and that sort of thing. So I was thinking, Elliot Yeo, there'll be more stoppages. He's a little bit more inside. He'll get a couple more tackles, you know, that sort of stuff. So I went him over Tim Kelly, and unfortunately, Yeo scored me a 69, and Tim Kelly went on to score 106. So it's just another one of those 50-50 calls, Zano, that went the wrong way. I don't regret the call, because I think it was still the right call out of those two, based on the information that I had. It just didn't work out.
Mm. So all I'll have to say is, on the record, Arch, I did say I told you so. and I wouldn't have been touching someone like... I was okay with Kelly, but I didn't want to touch Yeo, because I wouldn't be surprised if he's rested this week or next week as well.
Well, especially because he got injured through the game. So,
and he got injured. He's tweaked an ankle, right? But even if they think he's pretty right to play, they'll probably rest him against Adelaide, saving him flying to Adelaide with his injury history of the last, 12, 18 months, whatever it's been. So, I always thought, look, we know that Yeo, I don't think Yeo will ever be be able to get to 100% again, because his injury was so... It is a tough thing to manage. But even if you can get 80s or 90s out of a guy that was probably priced at about 50 or 60, that's a win.
Yep.
It's just those weeks that he's going to rest that this time of the year that I think could be a bit of a killer.
So what about your bad, Zano? What have you got for us this week?
I'm going to go to my forwards in AFL Fantasy, Arch. Now, I had a pretty reasonable week in AFL Fantasy, it's fair to say. Just a lazy 2,339. So, pretty happy with that. However, I just want to rattle this, all right, Arch. My defenders averaged me 97.2 across the six. My midfield averaged me 133.1. And that includes adding my captain score to that. My rucks averaged me 115. Right? So, that's not too shabby. But my crappy forwards averaged me 84.7.
Ooh.
Right? The worst part is my forwards are actually all premiums, whereas in the midfield, I'm still rocking a rookie, and my defender's a mid-pricer. So the rookie in the midfield, and I had Cummins in the back line who scored a 54.
Yep.
Yet still managed to nearly crack me 100 as my defenders, and my mid still went at 133. Granted, it was Bramble, but a rookie in there. So, look, Arch, the forwards are just a debacle at the moment. There doesn't seem to be anybody you can rely on. And the only one you can rely on is Jordan DeGoey, that we all put a line as our never ever again list through about 14 weeks ago. So, what's left? You've got to be gutsy to jump on a DeGoey in a stringer type. So outside of that, there's nothing else exciting going on in the forward line. I know you've got your Kellys and your Halls, which are solid. Outside of the top few guys, there's just nothing there. It's really quite a struggle at the moment.
So I'm assuming, Zano, that's going to include Lockie Hunter, correct? You would have had him?
Lockie Hunter.
A steel side bottom?
Yes.
You would have had a Dusty in there, maybe?
No, I had a Danger.
Danger. What did he score?
80.
Nice. Yeah, so...
So my forward line was, and I'm going off the top of my head at the moment, it's Kelly, Hall, Danger, Hunter... side bottom and Pendles.
Yeah, okay.
So, look, Pendles wasn't too bad. He went just above the average, or about the average. I think he had 85 or 87 or something. But definitely the Hunter and the side bottom thing. I actually looked to trade Hunter out this week, but they've got a damn juicy run coming up. Yep. So he's the sort of guy, and you know, you use the term downhill skier, but he loves the easy ball. And if they've got an easy team that they're getting plenty of, it is when he's going to score well. So he survived this week, Arch.
What will be interesting, Zano, is there's a lot of talk of Dunkley coming back this week. So it'd be interesting to see how Dunkley impacts, you know, not just Hunter, but, you know, Bailey Smith and those sorts of guys as well.
Yeah, I don't think he'll impact Hunter because Dunkley's a little bit more inside than Hunter's just a pure outside runner. So I don't think that's as much. But it could, where it could do is push a guy like Bailey Smith a bit outside.
Back out to the wing. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, I do think you're right. I think it'll impact more a Bailey Smith type. And Treloar later on in the year might be back as well, but might be after we finish our finals. So there's a bit to look at there. But, I mean, Hunter was scoring pretty well earlier in the year with Duncan in the side. So, you know, my concern's probably outside of him to somebody else, more inside mid types. So,
Yep.
Okay, Arch. Now, I feel that you want to vent something here. So let's talk about your ugly.
Look, my ugly's really easy, Zano. Three words. West Coast Eagles. That's all that needs to be said. There's no venting or anything like that. I think it's pretty bleeding obvious why it's my ugly.
I don't know what's going on. Look, I did a bit of research today, Arch. And I'm just going to rattle off a heap of names here. And I'm going to ask what you think needs to happen going forward for them. Okay? So... Yep. These are the ages of these players sometime in 2021. So by the end of this year, this is how old they're going to be. Okay? Shannon Hearn, 34. Josh Kennedy, 34. Nick Natz, 31. Shuey's 32. Redden's 31. Shep Crack's 30. Vardy's 30. On top of that, right behind them, you've got Gaff, 29. Cripps, 29. McGovern, 29. And Darling, 29. Now, that's 11 guys. So that's half the 22. Right? I know a couple of those guys didn't play on the weekend, like Redden, but that's because he was injured. So, but that's basically half the 22 that will be over 30 next year, if all those guys continue on. Once you start to get to that point of 30, you know that you start to fall back down the hill.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So...
And I agree with you, Zano, there. It's one of those ones where they thought they were in the window, and early in the year it looked like they were. And I think, you know, as late as a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Hearn and Kennedy playing on there. Look, I still think potentially both of those guys do. The rest of them I'm not too worried about. Vardy, I'm not sure. He's not best 22 anyway. So
he's borderline, yeah.
Yeah, if he does play, then it'll be mainly for the Rezzies.
Yep.
Hearn and Kennedy, I can see them doing... a little bit like the last dance. So they will play, you know, between 10 and 13 games for the year.
So the question I've got is next year, if all those guys continue on and say Vardy's playing, that's 11 guys over 30, right?
Yep.
Now, most of those guys you could look at and go, yeah, in the last couple of years, they've started to fade, right? Compared to their heights and their peaks, right? Pretty much all of them, you could say, have fallen down and fallen backwards to two, three years ago, which isn't uncommon. It's normal. So the question is, with all those guys over 30, what do you do? Do you bite the bullet now and start to go, right, we do have to go back and start to rebuild this list, or at least rebuild the 22? Or do you play guys that are that past it and, you know, history shows struggle? Well, where's it go?
The problem that there is there, Zano, is we've got not a lot in the middle. So I really like the kids that they've played this year. So the two Edwards boys and a couple of the other guys they've brought in. But the problem is those guys have now played, between 6 and 12 games?
Yeah.
They've still got guys like Brander should be at 40 to 50 games by now. And they should be at the next level ready to take over. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. Call it because of the success that they've had, they've played these, the more mature guys, which is fine, but it's now that middle ground that's going to be a problem.
And that's not uncommon. I mean, the Eagles have well and truly been at least looking at the window the last, 3 or 4 years. And they won one in that time. So I have no issues with teams going hard with mature players if they're a chance to win a flag. The question is, when do you admit that you're not?
I think that question, if something dramatic doesn't happen this week,
yep,
or in the next 2 weeks, because let's face it, Zano, as bad as it's been, the Eagles are still in the eight.
Oh, no, yeah, right? Absolutely.
There's still a chance to play finals. But if the worst should happen and the Eagles lose to Adelaide this week, well, there's going to be a lot of questions asked.
Oh, there is. And look, if they miss the eight, which they've got a pretty tough run to finish off the year, you know, the questions just come, don't they? What do you do? Do you persist with these older guys, or do you go, well, look, guys, we've tried, we couldn't get there. Now it's time to strip back. And look, teams bottom out, they rebuild, they come back. That's the story of football, right? I just think it's sometimes hard to admit that you're in that position to have to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. The other thing that I found different, a lot of people talk about how Geelong stay up the top all the time, and Richmond have been very good at it for a while, and a few of those teams. The one thing West Coast haven't done is had those top-up players that those guys have gotten. You know?
Yeah.
You're talking about guys like this year for Geelong's a prime example with Higgins and Smith, you know?
Yep.
They don't... The last 2 or 3 years, to stay in that window for that little bit longer, you've got... I mean, I know Smith and Higgins have got a year or two left, right? There's no different to a Shep or a Shuey or a Redden type, you know?
Yeah.
But to getting those guys in there for that extra year or two means you just hang on for that extra year or two. They're going to have to bottom out as well at some point. They're going to have half their list retire. But I think that's where the Eagles have fallen back from those other guys that are hanging on, because they just haven't been able to get those top-up players to not have to play those young guys, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. But I also think, like, when the Eagles do trade in, they trade for 22, 23-year-olds. So you look at the guys they've bought in the last couple of years. They've bought in Tim Kelly. They bought in Alex Witherden, which is in that sort of age. So they're after those guys that are just done with their first contract. They've had a few years, and then they bring them in. Look at, you know, the guys that helped win the premiership. So, you know, you've got Redden there that you mentioned. Mm. Elliot Yeo as well that's came in. Even Cripps came in when he was 22, 23, came across from the Saints. Those are the sort of guys they historically recruit, not the older guys.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's the reason why that strategy is why they've fallen back a little bit to the top of the packs. Geelong's the prime example, because they just haven't had those top-up players, you know? And guys like Witherden as an example, I mean, he's borderline at best at the moment, 22. So he's not really like a Smith or a Higgins that walk into your side, you know, and make you better, if you know what I mean.
I agree
so, yeah,
too.
Yeah,
but he's also 8 years younger than those guys.
Yeah, and that's okay for the rebuild. It's not okay to hang on now.
Cool. So, anyway, all right, Zona, enough about the Eagles.
Yep.
Let's move on to your ugly.
So my ugly, now, one of us had to mention this Arch. One of us is going to bring him up, and it's going to be me, because I feel that I'm in a better position to talk about this ugly than you might have been, and that's Lachie Whitfield. Now, we all know that he had his injury on the weekend, and we've had confirmation he's going to miss at least this week. And in salary, look, plenty of people had him. Luckily, I didn't have him in salary, which was really nice. But I do happen to have him in our home keeper league, Arch. Now, not only do I have him in our home keeper league, I captained him in our home keeper league. So I lost that game comfortably thanks to that. And I tossed and turned and almost put... I had the VC on Stringer, who had a 99.
Yeah, and you got greedy.
And not so much greedy, but up against Gold Coast, I really thought, you know, Whitfield's good for 100 at least. You know? The problem is you don't know the injury's coming, and that's the hard part. That one hurt, Arch. That one hurt a lot. And the worst part is we actually have a 25% threshold on player time set in that league. You played, I think it was 27.
Wow.
So, you know, if you went down 3 minutes earlier, I wouldn't have had to have taken that score. I would have gotten I think my emergency score was at least 34, and I still would have lost anyway. But at least I would have had the captain's score move over to Stringer at that point.
Stringer, so, yep.
That was a nice Arch. I wasn't happy with that. So, but hey, that's the way it falls sometimes.
Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble.
So what I was going to say, that moves us on to should I stay or should I go? So pretty simply here, what are we going to do about all these issues? You've brought up a couple of relevant injuries, Arch. So and I've dodged a few of those bullets, but I know you've got some decisions to make.
I do, mate. I do. And unfortunately for most of them, it's going to need to wait for teams.
Mm.
The good thing with rolling lockouts that we have now got in all formats is you can hold off a little bit. So just looking at the fixture here. So I've got Whitfield, and he plays on... they were meant to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
Our first game Saturday.
Mm.
But the player I'm looking at potentially bringing in is Lachie Neal.
Yeah.
So I'll need to... Look, I need to do something there. There's no two ways around that. So a bit of DPP with Bianco, and that'll get me Whitfield to Lachie Neal there. No worries there.
Yeah.
The other one is going to depend on other injuries, Zano. So Elliot Yeo is one that I'm keeping an eye on. Eagles will have a late game, seeing as they played on Monday.
Yep.
So they play Sunday there by the looks, the late game Sunday. No Monday game this week, which is good.
No, that's a little bit helpful. Yep.
So they play the late game on Sunday. So I have a lot of time there. Especially if I'm looking at doing a straight swap to a Tim Kelly, to be honest, which is on the cards there. So I don't actually have to make that decision until Sunday, unless I'm looking to bring somebody in that's from an earlier game, obviously.
The rookie side of it's the big question, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm looking at in AFL Fantasy, so nothing really locked in there. Dream Team, look, I'm down to four trades. I actually had to make two trades last week. Simply because of injuries. So unless I do have a major injury with that one, and I don't have Whitfield in that format.
Yeah.
So I don't really need to worry about it. I don't have Yeo either. So unless something comes out of the blue, unfortunately, I'm still stuck with 1, 2, 3 rookies on the field.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I just feel like I need those trades for injuries. So yeah. I'm just going to have to play rookie roulette with those guys and see how we go. Now, super coach, Whitfield, well, he'll have to go. I don't trust that it's only going to be 1 week. And probably if I trade him out, it'll be 1 week. If I keep him, it'll be two. So that's the way it'll be. I do need to trade CJ, so he needs to go. I've got 7 trades left there, so the guys I'm looking at, someone like Jaden Short, for argument's sake, he's good value, had a good last 3 weeks or so, plus he's got an awesome first name.
Yep.
Other options that we've got are guys like Shannon Hearn. Salem's been really good for Melbourne lately. Crisp, Ridley, Rich, they're all reasonable value at the moment. So I'll just have a look over those in the next couple of days once teams are released and see which way we go there.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, look, there's definitely going to be a bit of moving and jostling and other bits and pieces in the next this week, I think. There's a bit going on there, for sure. So,
what about you, Zano? What are you looking to do?
So I've got Isaac coming in my back line, Arch, and this is an AF, in AFL Fantasy. Look, with all the gibberish defenders back now, I know Whitfield will miss this week and maybe a few more, but he's got a break even of in the mid-120s, so I don't think he's going to get that regardless. And as I said, with all those defenders back, he's gone back to a more lockdown role. So his last 2 weeks, he scored a 54 and a 68. So he has to go. Even if he goes okay for this week, Whitfield comes back in the following week, he goes back down. So I'm going to use the opportunity now to move him on. Now, via about 6 different DPP options, he will go to Neil via, well, I can throw around Burgess, Amati, Bramble, Hall, Laird. I've got players all over the place I can throw around. So that's where I'll then have to make a decision. Do I play Burgess? Do I play Bramble? And that'll be my last on-field rookie at this stage. So that'll be it. And then, depending who's named, one of Briggs, Newcomb, Amati, or Walker. Well, Walker's not been named. So there may be a chance I move him on. And it's just going to be to any cheap rookie, Arch. At this stage, it might play. So fingers crossed I get someone. So bit of a juggle around there. I'm not quite sure yet until we know teams. But that's the plan there. Super coach. Now, I've got 5 trades left, and I've got 34,000 in the bank. Now, I'm pretty much full premium there, but I have got Whitfield. So I've got to make a decision if I have someone to play or not there. But at this stage, I'm thinking I might go Whitfield to Rowan Marshall and actually throw McAvoy, who's in my ruck at the moment, back into the back line. So that's my move there. And that'll leave me 4 trades and keep me at full premium. So something I'm toying with at the moment. Now, DT, sitting pretty happy here, Arch. I'm actually full premium-ish. I think it was Tom Phillips is about the only guy that I've got that you wouldn't call premium at the moment. But I have got 6 trades and 115K in the bank. So, because there's no real rookies to jump on, I might just hold another week there, Arch. Had a good score of just on 2,300 in Dream Team this week, so don't have to make too many changes. So I'm just going to sit and hold for the time being in Dream Team and then see what happens going forward. I don't have Whitfield in Dream Team either, so he's the one that I might be able to do some action and move Phillips out and get Whitfield in a week or two's time.
So, Zeno, given the early game, so we've got Fremantle and Geelong on Thursday night. So that's at Optus at 6:10 p.m.
Yes.
That's WA time, so 8:10 Eastern.
Yep.
And then we've got Richmond and Brisbane on Friday night at 7:50 Eastern. Mm. What vice-captain options are you looking at, Mark?
Well, maybe Dangerfield, Fremantle. I'll tell you who it'll be. It's probably Sean Darcy from Fremantle.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one. Geelong don't have a ruckman. He's going to go, he could go monstrous. So I think it's Sean Darcy for me. I don't think there's anybody else from the other teams that overly excites me. And then, look, it's roulette. You know, I can go into Steele, Merritt, Taranto, McRae, Wines, who knows, Laird. So, I definitely think the V for me will be on Darcy. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, well, I like your Darcy pick. Simply, Zeno, being over here, we know what the weather's been like the last week or so.
Yep.
Tip for listeners, it hasn't really changed since Monday. So the sort of weather that you saw on the footy on Monday night is the same as what we've been having all week, which makes it really good for stoppages and especially Darcy. So there'll be a lot more stoppages around the ground. So he should absolutely smash the hit-outs there. So I quite like that.
I do actually think, though, that Friday clears up a little bit. So Friday is a lot less rain, just showers, the odd shower. Okay. So
well, it doesn't really matter because they play on Thursdays, don't they?
Oh, Thursday. So let me try Thursday. That's tomorrow night. Yeah, so showers. Showers, less than a mil, but windy. So it's going to be awkward conditions still. It'll be dewy and miserable. So, he's definitely the guy that I'm thinking about because he actually gets most of his score from clearances, believe it or not. He's one of the top clearance players at the moment, which is insane to think. But no, he's my man. So, Arch, what are your thoughts then?
Look, Zano, I'm looking at... I don't have any Dockers players at all from memory in any of my teams. So Geelong options that you'd look at is obviously Danger. Yeah. But I like Cam Guthrie. I think he goes under the radar. And he's got a pretty good ceiling there. So he's gone back into the midfield the last couple of weeks after a couple of weeks of poor scoring there. But basically, since Duncan's gone down, he's been scoring quite well.
Yeah.
So if you do have Cam Guthrie in salary cap or I've got him in a couple of draft leagues, I think he'll be the VC for me. And the other obvious one are for the Lions. So Dane Zorko, Lachie Neale will be the other one to look at. I'll probably go Lachie Neale if I end up trading him.
Yeah, I was going to say he's the obvious one on the Friday night. So,
yep.
In saying that, though, Arch, one way that I tend to look at it these days is I actually look at who I can captain on the Sunday.
Yep.
Right? So, at the moment, I'm just looking here. You've got options of guys. So, you've got Adelaide, so you can captain Rory Laird. West Coast, you're probably not captaining anybody really at the moment.
No.
Collingwood. I've got Adams. You've got
Taylor Adams.
Grundy.
Yep.
You've got Crisp, if you've got him. Carlton, if you're running with Sam Walsh. There. North Melbourne, Zeeble Hall. Essendon, well, obviously Merritt or Parrish. Yep. So, based on that, you can basically put a V on anybody prior to those games. So, you know, I mean, I'm still probably going to look at Darcy, but what it does is it even allows you the Saturday games, and you've got the Giants, so you've got Kelly, you've got Taranto, you've got the Sydney games, as you know, maybe a few guys, you've got the Sun, so Took Miller. You got the Bulldogs on that day, so you've got the Bulldogs boys, you've got Melbourne with Gorn, you've got Hawthorn with Tom Mitchell, you know, you've got St Kilda. I mean, Saints are playing Port Adelaide, so you've got Steele, you've got Wines, you've got Boke. So you can throw the V on any of those guys, because this week in particular, the Sunday options are pretty juicy.
Pretty juicy. Yeah, no, that's a fair call, Zona. So, yeah, I'll probably go into Zach Merritt on the Sunday.
Yep.
And, just looking at that, maybe a Clayton Oliver is about due against Hawthorn, Victoria.
That's dead right.
At the MCG there. I don't have... So the St Kilda Port Adelaide game is under the roof.
Yes.
So if I had Jack Steele, he would be a very good pick, I think.
And that's what I'm looking at. I'm tossing up possibly the Saturday night game of Steele or Wines as my VC, you know? So, and then I've got Merritt, I've got Adams, I've got Hall. I guess this thing might be all right. That's at Marvel as well, so it's going to be nice under the roof for him to just pick up kick after kick. So there's definitely options there, Arch, this week. Definitely plenty of options. But that's it again this week, listeners. So thanks again for tuning in. As we always say, get me up at OGLS Zeno and keep an eye on overthelinesports.com.au for anything we put up there. And especially to our Sydney counterparts at the moment, stay safe because, we know how quickly these things are changing.
Absolutely. And you can get me at OTLS Archie. And we do mention it every week, Zano. If you do have any issues or you need to talk to someone, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. And also, please hit us up on Apple Podcasts. 5-star rating and review is always very much appreciated.
Absolutely. Look, good luck this week. Hopefully things don't change too much. And we'll just, see how bad it was for next week. So... thanks again, everybody.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.